Hi, I'm Jack Grimmer at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show. It's an international break, and but still, much to bring you. We'll be reflecting on the fantastic, dramatic victory up at Rotherham on Tuesday night. We'll get a match briefing from Phil. We'll hear from head coach Mike Dodds to get his reaction to the match, and from goalscorer Sonny Bradley, who was recalled to the team for that night as well. So that'll be quite exciting. Obviously, no game at the weekend. We're due to be playing Huddersfield, but because of the international break, that's been rescheduled. Lots more club news to bring you as well, plus part two, if you were listening last week, of our chat with Joe Jacobson. He was going to the Wrexham game. Was that last week? Yes, I think it was. And we caught up with him ahead of that, after spending a decade at the club, and next month it'll be a year since his 400th and final appearance. We'll be getting his thoughts on things like his highlights over that 10 years, some top tips for scoring from corners, also his future plans as well. Lots to speak to him about. And we'll be getting reaction from Tuesday night at Adams Park, where Wickham Wanderers women played their first ever league game. It was against Reading. A brilliant attendance of 567 was there, including one of those being me, which was brilliant to be amongst the crowds to witness a great event. They won 6-1 against Reading, went 3-0 up inside the first 15 minutes, and all the goals were excellent. I can certainly tell you that. And it was a fantastic atmosphere. I'm really pleased for all the Chair girls involved. Coming up, we'll hear from Jess Watkins, who is player of the match. We'll catch up with Carl Simon and Captain Bobby Lynch, and also Mark Gateskill, who's the Chief Executive of the Wickham Wanderers Foundation, who I wish I'd phrased much better the way I would use the time of speaking to him for this week's show. What I meant to say was that it's an international break, and I'm really pleased that we're able to allow more time, give more time to the occasion. How I actually phrased it was, it'd be great to speak to you because I need to make up the time, which which on reflection wasn't very clever at all, but he was still happy to do it, so you'll hear from him a bit later on as well. But first, let's get a bit of a review of what happened up at Rotherham on Tuesday night. If you're listening to the commentary on Wanderers TV and on Wickham Sound, Barry Labala was alongside Phil, and here's Phil's summary of what happened in the game.
Wickham Wanderers travelled to Rotherham United in League One, trying to get themselves back into the top two. They slipped down to third following that narrow defeat against promotion rivals Wrexham on Saturday, and were looking for a response. Head coach Mike Dodds went to a back three, recalling Sonny Bradley into the heart of defence, and then wing-backs Luke Leahy on the left and Jack Grimmer, the skipper, on the right. Adam Reach was positioned further forwards behind striker Richard Kone. The first half was a largely forgettable affair in front of quite a small crowd for this rearranged game. The game, though, did burst into life on 66 minutes with Louis Sibley receiving a ricochet in the area from Sonny Bradley before firing a left-foot shot fiercely towards the near post. It went through the gloves of goalkeeper Will Norris, hit the underside of the crossbar and bounced down, and was adjudged to have crossed the line by both the assistant referee and the referee as well. This kick-started Wickham into life, though, with Richard Kone heading his 18th goal of the season to make him the leading goal scorer in the EFL following a pinpoint cross from Luke Leahy. Both sides then went for it. A disallowed goal for substitute Johnston Clark-Harris of Rotherham United following a very obvious handball, it seemed, to pretty much everybody by the referee and his assistant. And Johnston Clark-Harris dispatched the ball into the bottom corner and celebrated before the fourth official stepped up to advise the referee of the blatant handball, and the goal was disallowed. Steve Evans was furious, but then you'd expect that. Wickham then took full advantage of this late goal being disallowed by going ahead themselves in the 90th minute. Another assist for Luke Leahy, swinging in a left-footed corner to the back post, where Sonny Bradley emerged from a crowded area to head home from close range. Raptures in the away end, who were behind the goal of Rotherham keeper Dylan Phillips. Rotherham then threw everybody forward, which meant there were gaps at the back, which Wickham were able to exploit again on the counter-attack. This time, Gareth McCleary running onto a long ball from Luke Leahy, controlling, feeding it into Richard Kone, who unselfishly passed to Gideon Kodua, who beat his man and from 6 yards out before sliding the ball past the keeper to, we think, make it safe at 3-1. However, 10 seconds later, Rotherham United, straight from the kickoff, won a penalty following a foul by Xavier Simons in the area. Johnston Clark-Harris made no mistake from the spot to give Wickham Wanderers fans a nervy 90 seconds or so before the referee blew his whistle to give Wickham Wanderers a much-needed victory in their pursuit for the top two. An entertaining game in the end. The last 20 minutes really did spring to life. But as I said, a vital 3 points for Wickham Wanderers. Next in action, a week on Saturday when they entertain Lincoln City at Adams Park. Full time then from the New York Stadium on Tuesday, Rotherham United 2, Wickham Wanderers 3.
Real pleasure to have Phil on the show as always, and there'll be more from him next week. Make sure you don't miss that. Phil, after the game on Tuesday night up at Rotherham, spoke to head coach Mike Dodds to get his thoughts on what was a pretty dramatic end to the game.
Mike, late drama, as we say on Wanderers TV, the best drama, but the 3 points is what's important, right?
I said to the lads then, when I came in, I said, this is going to be a roller coaster and we're going to have to stick together and take the bumps. But I wasn't expecting that, I'll be honest with you. Look, I'm delighted for the group. I'm really delighted for them because they work so hard, and I feel in some of the games since I've come in, they haven't got their just rewards. They know that probably the in-possession stuff they weren't happy with as a group. And, you know, I would probably agree with them on that. But I said to them, you can't beat yourself up when you lose on Saturday. And probably didn't deserve to lose the game, and then win the game on Tuesday and then beat yourself up again. I won't accept that. So, you know, was it pretty? No. You know, they have a really effective, direct style of play. I thought Sonny Bradley, I mean, his goal probably typified his performance. I thought he was outstanding, and he was one, when I took him out of the team, it was a really, really tough decision for me. So I was really happy to get him back in the team, and I felt all three centre-halves just took a complete bombardment. For 90 minutes, and they stood up to it, and we knew what was coming. So yeah, was it pretty? No. Was it a vintage game in terms of something that we'll kind of analyse and put in the kind of positive archives? Probably not. The result was obviously hugely important. Two really well taken goals, you know, G-Mac setting up Gids for the third, obviously two of the subs. I thought the subs made a huge impact for us, so I'm delighted for them. But yeah, it's a win. On to the next game, and as I keep saying to the group, let's keep chalking these wins off, let's keep chalking these points. If we take a point, we'll take a point. 3 points, let's just keep putting points on the board.
And great character too. Rotherham are good at home, they have been here for many years as well, and to go a goal down in the second half and then come back so quickly shows great character.
Yeah, listen, character will never ever get questioned from anyone around this group, not myself or any of the staff, and I'm sure the fans would echo that. You know, that's one thing that you can't question the group around. Yeah. I don't really know what to make of it. It's 3 points. We put 3 points on the table. International break. I've got a week next week to kind of tidy one or two things up, ready for Lincoln. But yeah, I'm happy with the group. I'm happy with the group.
Richard Kone was ill on Saturday and sent home before the game, but ran himself into the ground tonight.
Yeah, the plan, I'll be brutally honest, the plan was he was going to play 60 minutes. There was obviously some concerns whether he was actually going to be fit for the game. But it says everything about his character, the fact that he's always played 90 and he's completely emptied the tank. I wasn't expecting him to play that long, but sometimes people have got to roll their sleeves up and dig deep, and I think to a man we did that this evening.
Adam Reach showing his quality tonight and also his versatility again, played a few positions today.
Yeah, you know, Reach has obviously come in and played at left back for us, and he can play there, but that isn't his natural position, should I say. If you spoke to Richie, you would say he's more of a attacking player, wants to play higher areas of the pitch, and I think he's a great addition to the football club. What a character, super fit. You know, he keeps churning games out considering he hadn't played a huge amount of football prior to joining the football club. And he's played, you know, 300-400 games, you know, in the league above. So he's a great asset for us for the short term and hopefully for the long term as well.
And psychologically now, we've got the international break, 11 days now to our next game. But going into that little break with a win, back into second as well, how big is that psychologically?
Yeah, I think the win's the big one for me because, as I said, I didn't think we deserved to lose the game on Saturday. Was it perfect tonight? No, but you know, we've got the 3 points on the board. You know, sometimes, you know, we've taken points when probably we shouldn't deserve to take points, and we've had points when we've deserved to win. We've just got to keep concentrating on us, regardless of what everyone else is doing, what regards of the league table. Every game is focused on getting 3 points, and if we do that, we're gonna have an exciting end to the season.
Great to hear from Mike Dodds, Wickham Wanderers head coach, speaking after Tuesday night's game. A fantastic result, as he said, which puts the team back into the automatic promotion places. You can hear more of that interview on Wanderers TV, where Mike talks in more detail about his playing three at the back and formation and reason behind that on Tuesday night. Sonny Bradley, as mentioned, was on the score sheet as well after being recalled to the side. He spoke to Phil afterwards as well.
I feel great. Obviously, it's lovely to get on the score sheet. It wasn't a great game today. I think anyone who watched that would agree with me. I think the first sort of like 70 minutes of the game, was a battle. It was that, you know, at times they've got five on your top line and you've got a lot to deal with. So we told ourselves before the game, you know, the senior boys, you know, kept telling everyone it's about the basics tonight. We have to do the basics well, and for the majority of the game, I think we did that well. Obviously, the first goal that we conceded, I think we can do better. Of course, we can. But then it's great to have the reaction. Luke put in a couple of great balls, one for Rich and one for me. And then at the end, it's a bit of chaos, a bit of spice for the fans. I mean, we don't want to do that every week. Of course, we don't. But tonight was about the 3 points, and yeah, happy to be back in the team. Happy to score a goal, and yeah, let's just keep it going now.
You said a bit about the spice at the end, but you know, got the fans up as well, and it feels like a real unifying moment almost.
Potentially, yeah. I think, you know, possibly it was a little bit more open than we'd probably like to be. But the gaffer just said then, look, we've kind of just worked on this the last couple of days. We haven't done too much on it, so it was always going to be a case of sort of learning on the job. But because we've got senior boys in there and boys that have done it, played in this formation, I think the gaffer's put a lot of trust in us to go out there and do it. And look, at times it wasn't perfect. There's a lot to work on still. But we've got a break now. We've got a few days off and then we come back. And again, we've got a full week to work on it. And we'll be hoping for a better performance, but the same result.
Rotherham have got a great record on Tuesday nights in the league. And to go a goal down in the second half away from home, show great character to come back so quickly.
Yeah, I think we were just... I don't know if the gaffer spoke about it, but I think it was Gracie that came up with the stat saying that they haven't been beaten here on a Tuesday night in League One for a long time, and someone said, well, they have now. I think it was me. But yeah, they're a good team, and when you play against Steve Evans' teams, you know you're in for a tough game. So yeah, difficult game, but we've won, and we move on now.
Talk us through your goal as well. Bez called it on the comms when the corner was given. He said, this is it, we're going to score from this corner. And Luke Lee, it was a great delivery, but your position was spot on.
It was, and before that one, actually, Gracie won't like me saying this, but that one that we sort of worked on, like, quite specifically, we haven't really had time to work on set pieces. We set a couple up, and they didn't seem to have the effect that we wanted. So as Luke was going up, I said, I'm going to get everyone under the bar. I'm going to get everyone around the keeper. I said, leave it in there, we'll score. So yeah, we all, when you've got big players, big physical players in there, it's difficult to mark, it's difficult to play against, and it was the perfect ball in. And you know, I always fancy myself, whoever's marking me, you know, I've got to be strong, use my strength, and yeah, it's a great ball, and it almost looks like a simple finish in the end. But yeah, full credit to Luke, I'm just there at the back stick to tap in.
It's a long way for the fans to come on a Tuesday night, but they were behind that goal, and that makes all those miles worthwhile, I guess, watching that.
Yeah, I think they would say that. And if it was the other way around and I'd scored at the other end, it might not have been as special, but and I almost forgot where, I don't know, because I've had so many balls tonight, I almost forgot where they was. I've scored and I've ran the other way, then I thought, where am I going? You know, they're behind the goal, so I've flipped it and I've gone to celebrate with them, and I hope it's a moment they remember. And look, it's about the result tonight, like I say, and hopefully they go home happy tonight with the win. We're back in a position where we believe we should be in the league. But yeah, there's going to be ups and downs, I'm sure there is, between now and the end of the season. It's just about making sure that come the end of it, we're in that second place. Well,
you know your way out of this division, and you know Wickham have moved back into second tonight, as you just said. Psychologically, going into the break, how important is that?
I don't know, to be honest. I'm not sure. Of course, it's great for us for the momentum, but you've got to look at the teams below us. I think in their previous, the last game that they played, they've all won as well. So they all go into the break as well with a relative amount of momentum. So, you know, it's just exciting, to be honest. An exciting time of the season. We're right in the mix. We'll be coming back. We've got a chance now to freshen it up. And yeah, I think the gaffer's still got a job on his hands, because there's a lot of players at this football club who are desperate to play every game. But look, I'm a bit of an example, as in, you've just got to be patient. You know, this is about the team. It's not necessarily about individuals now. It's just staying fit, waiting for your chance. And then if you do get put in there, you'll give 100%, and and help the team achieve their goal.
Sonny Bradley speaking to Phil after the game, and of course you can hear more of that interview on Wanderers TV, a game which, as Phil mentioned a little earlier on, didn't start too well, but certainly picked up and took Wickham Wanderers back to second place in League One on 71 points, level on points with Wrexham, and of course that was the game in hand. So both teams have now played 37, still a game off Birmingham City, who are 12 points clear at the top of the table. But Wickham, after 37 games, have won 20, drawn 11 and lost only 6, and have got a better goal difference as well than Wrexham, and in fairly decent form on 71 points. Bit of a gap then down to Charlton, who are on 66, just a point further back at Stockport, and Huddersfield, who Wickham are due to playing at the weekend, are making up the final playoff place on 61, just a point ahead of Bolton, and they're a point clear of Reading. So it's really, really tight in that part of the table. So, yes, a big battle now into the end of the season. Of course, the team's on international break now because of that Huddersfield postponement. So Wickham's next game, as Phil mentioned a little earlier on, will be on Saturday the 29th of March. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff, I know, on a Saturday, with a visit of Lincoln City. Then they're next in action again on Tuesday the 1st of April, April 4th, for a fantastic occasion at Adams Park at 7:45, which will be bringing League One strugglers and, of course, Shrewsbury Town, who are managed, of course, by the former Wickham Wanderers management team of Gareth Ainsworth and Richard Dobson, and David Wheeler's now there too. And that's happening on Tuesday night, the 1st of April. It's a busy period because then on the Saturday the 5th, trip to Reading, that's a 12:30 kickoff. Then the following Tuesday is the rearranged Huddersfield game, which should be this weekend. Then back to 12:30 on a Saturday for the visit of Stevenage. Then a trip to Bolton, who you'll recall are quite near Wickham. That's on Friday the 18th, that's Good Friday. Then on Easter Monday, the visit of Charlton, who are not far behind either. And then the month is completed with a trip to Leighton Orient on Saturday the 26th. So when those fixtures are done, then there won't be much of the season left. In fact, the final game of the regular season, of course, there could be playoffs involved as well, but of course is on Saturday the 3rd of May with a visit of Stockport County. So many of Wickham's remaining games are against teams in and around them in the table, but no fixture because of the international break, as mentioned a couple of times. But it's non-league day this weekend as well, and you've got the opportunity to go and back some of the chairboys here on loan at a number of the non-league sides. So let's run through some of those players who are currently at non-league clubs. You can also catch this on the Wickham Wanderers website as well, if you can't remember all. But if you'd like to see Jack Young, you'll see him in Dorking's game at home to Boreham Wood. You'll also see Brody Pitt and Christy Ward in action when Tunbridge take on Chelmsford. Luke Woodhouse playing for Aldershot against Ebbsfleet. Jack Mattens playing in Bracknell's game against Gosport. Ryan Cole should be in action again between Hanwell and Totten. And you can catch up with Jaden Bartlow and Taylor Clark when Slough face Enfield as well. All those games are 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday. You're advised to check the respective club website and social media platforms for ticket details and any changes to the fixture arrangements as well. But a brilliant initiative. Your chance to still cheer on some chairboys who are playing in non-league clubs on non-league day. Yes, get yourself along and enjoy those. And, of course, Beaconsfield are at home too. And do look out for some other local clubs which might be in action too.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
The Wycombe Wanderers Show. Thursdays from 7.
Part two of this week's Wickham Wanderers Show. Still to come, we'll find out about Boogie Bingo, which is coming to Adams Park on the 1st of May. No, really. And we'll reflect on the Wickham Wanderers women game, which was at Adams Park on Tuesday night. It was chilly. But first, with thanks to the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, we'll bring you part two of our chat with Joe Jacobson. We spoke to him last week, talking about his earliest memories from his time at the club and his brilliant relationship with the players, of course. But it'd be fantastic to find out a bit more about some of his highlights, also his plans for the future, and of course, some of which he's very well known for, which was scoring from corners and goal kicks and free kicks, and also the responsibility of being the captain as well?
Oh, so many. There's, you know, going back to the first season I was there, I think one of the standout games was beating Oxford away in my first season. I think Danny Hilton missed a last-minute penalty where he kicked the ball into the car park, I think, at right in the last kick of the game as such. There was, you know, the cup runs. The game against Spurs away was an amazing day for me personally, being a Spurs fan and getting to play there and coming so close, and the emotions of that game. I'm actually quite glad that we didn't get a replay out of it, because I'm not sure I could have gone through it all over again. In fact, even though we did a couple of years later, the playoff final, I look at, you know, towards the end in our first season that we got promoted, obviously the Chesterfield game is huge, but the first season we got promoted, a few games at home to Barnsley where we picked up a 1-0 win that were huge for us to survive. And then the game away at Southend when Bale scored two goals to kind of solidify that we were going to stay up. That was a huge moment. And then the promotion season, every week felt like it was a magical moment. The Lincoln game for me personally as well, going top of the league, it felt like a huge game. And I think it was international week, wasn't it? So there wasn't many other games. It was kind of like we were the biggest game in the country, within England that day in the league pyramid. And remember, there was extra cameras there and stuff. We obviously won 3-1. We go top of the league. I scored the hat trick. It was, that was a huge highlight. And then Wembley. But then you look at the championship season and so many great memories and wins. And in fact, one of the biggest, which I've seen a lot recently because of the game against Birmingham, was that first win away at Birmingham. Or the first away win at Birmingham where we scored late on. That moment after that was huge. And yeah, it's really difficult to pin down. I've probably just said about 20 different games there. It's really difficult to pin down. The obvious one for me is the playoff final against Oxford for a personal memory and what it meant for the club. And just, I still, whenever I see it now, that video with the people filming at home who obviously couldn't go to the game, who was saying to the referee to blow the whistle, I can still hear that little kid shouting, just blow the whistle. And just gives me goosebumps. And watching that back is, yeah, a special feeling that I'll always remember.
It's so nice, isn't it, to imagine what you know, fans' reactions. I remember speaking to a young fan especially, and him saying, oh, that's JJ, he scores from corners, like it was your superpower. And it's so great to, I guess, know that youngsters kind of look up to you for that. And I imagine when you did it the first time, you thought, oh, that's fantastic. And then you just thought, well, I can probably do that again.
Do you know what? I never really shot as such. We would do a lot of work on set pieces. We were very good at it over the years. And Dobber was huge on trying to find little gains, and it would work so hard on opposition and how they defend set pieces and what goalkeepers did and things like that. And it was a case of a lot of the time he would say, just try and put it on target and around the goalkeeper. Maybe they're not so confident when there's players around them, and if everyone misses it, it goes in. And a few times it did that. The Lincoln game, the second one, I probably was trying to shoot just because of the game, what had happened. I was full of confidence, and the crowd before I stepped up, everyone was shouting shoot. You can hear them shouting shoot. And thankfully that one went in. But there's been plenty of times where I've hit corners and the centre-backs have run up 60 yards and I've hit it over the bar or over hit it wide, and they've looked at me and given me those evil looks, and I'm like, all right, okay, I better not try that again. So they're the ones that people forget about. It's just the nice ones where they have gone in or we got an assist or whatever it is that people do remember. And that's nice. It's nice to look back on that and have almost like a reputation of being a set piece taker within the lower leagues that for a few years I was kind of known for, which, you know, it could be worse, I say.
And with free kicks especially, did you often sort of line up and think, I could do something a bit special here?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we practice a lot. Most days I would take some balls out and with a few of the other players as well. It's funny because we had some decent set piece takers, but when it came to a game, people didn't want to take them, whether or not the nerves or whether or not they didn't want to, you know, because when you're taking a free kick from 25 yards, people almost expect you to score, which is strange because it's a really difficult chance. You have to get it over a wall. There's people blocking you. There's a goalkeeper there. It's difficult to score from them. So players didn't tend to step up, and I wasn't someone who just walked over and was like, right, this is my ball, I'm taking this. I'd always have a conversation with people and ask if they want it. And yeah, sometimes you just, some games you just feel really confident. You're hitting the ball nicely. It's a nice day. It's funny how the ball travels very differently in like a preseason game to the middle of winter. And it's a lot nicer to hit the ball in the summer when the sun's out and it's dry, rather than in the middle of winter when the pitch is wet and muddy and it's raining. It makes a big difference. So if you look back at my free kick goals, probably 90% of them are in the first month of the season when the pitches are nice. So you just feel confident. And I was always confident in my own ability that I wanted to take free kicks. I had done at previous clubs as well. So something I've always kind of looked at, worked at, and thankfully I've managed to score a few in my career.
You must have really fond memories of your testimonial year as well, obviously playing Cardiff and having that 400th appearance as well.
Yeah, that was amazing from the club to keep giving me contracts to allow me to stay for 10 years. And when I had the opportunity to have a game, it's really difficult to arrange a game because, you know, the groundsmen don't want you touching the pitch. They obviously relay the pitch in the summer, which takes a time frame where we literally had a Saturday or a Tuesday to pick from within the pre-season. And, you know, lots of teams go away on pre-season tours and timings and things like that. So it was a case of who do I ideally want to play? And look, being a Spurs fan as well as Cardiff, that we did speak to Spurs, and Spurs did say that they were going to bring a team down, but they, you know, the first team were going to be away on tour. So I didn't want it to be the week before the season us against an under 21s team as such, and I wanted to make sure that it was still good prep for the season. And then, you know, I spoke to Cardiff as well, and you know, that just aligned perfectly. They were great. They came down, and yeah, it was special for me playing against someone like Aaron Ramsey as well, who I knew from my time at Cardiff and Wales setup. And it's nice to kind of go full circle with him after the career he's had. And then it didn't work out. It wasn't my favourite year at the club. The fact that I was injured for a long time, I didn't play as many games as I thought I should do, or I couldn't get back in the team. And towards the end of the season, when I had opportunities to go in January and on loan, and I thought I didn't really want to, you know, ruin my last kind of year at Wickham. And so when the countdown came on to the end of the season, someone told me I was on 397 games, and the manager was like, well, I'll play you for a couple more games towards the end of the season and end it with your 400th on the last game. And it would have been nice to get a goal or an assist to make it 100 goal involvements, but unfortunately, I wasn't on the pitch when we got a penalty. But amazing feeling after the game to have all my family there, to get the ovation. I had a bit of a bang on my head, and I was probably a little bit concussed, actually. I should have come off, but I just couldn't come off on my last ever game. So it was, real special day for me, not just for me, but for my family as well, who have spent so long supporting me and travelled all around the country and Europe at times to watch me play, and to have them there on the pitch with me at the end was, it's pretty special.
Strange to think that was almost a year ago as well.
I know, time goes really, really fast. And people keep saying to me that I haven't actually officially retired, which I have done, but I just haven't necessarily put anything out there as such. I had something made for ages ago, actually. I was going to do a post, and then I just didn't get around to doing it, not because I wanted to carry on playing or anything like that, I just hadn't got around doing it. So I'm thinking now when it becomes a year since the last game, I think that'd be a nice time to do it.
Fans might be thinking you'll suddenly turn up at Shrewsbury or something.
Yeah, I know. I had a few people message me about getting that band back together. I play now. The last kind of 6 weeks, I start playing on a Monday night, just 7-a-side with some friends. I love it. But as soon as they start asking me to play 11-a-side, I'm like, no, I'm happy just turning up on a Monday night, running out my car, straight onto the pitch, playing for an hour, feeling stiff for a couple of days, and hopefully on the pitch will live up to everything else that's going on off it.
I'm sure fans will be keen to know what your own kind of future plans were. I mean, many know obviously that you were nearly the chief executive at Reading, and you've been doing some punditry work as well, and, you know, come across really well on the radio and on the TV too.
Yeah, so that's another reason why I stopped playing as such, because I had that opportunity with Rob Coohig that unfortunately didn't kind of come to anything at the end, but I had a decision to kind of carry on playing or to kind of start thinking about the rest of my life, as it were, and in a working capacity. And I also didn't want to play anywhere else. It sounds a bit strange, but I had that time at Wickham and I loved it so much. I didn't want to then, I felt it was quite nice to finish there and not kind of carry on anywhere else. And I wanted my legacy, not my legacy, but I wanted everyone to look back and go, that's Joe, that's the Wickham player, rather than that's Joe, he went and played a year here or a year here, and it kind of filtered out. And I'm happy with the way it kind of finished. So, that's still a big passion of mine, is going into kind of the business side of football. I really enjoy that side of things, and, working on the commercial side of the sponsorship, the fan engagement, working out strategies for the team and recruitment and things like that. It's all something that I'm really interested into and learning on a course at the minute. So while that's all going on, I'm enjoying doing the media work, the punditry. I've been fortunate to work at Sky Sports, at BBC, at TalkSport. So it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. I've actually gone to watch a lot more football now because I kind of have to for the jobs and starting to learn a lot more about players and other managers and things like that, which is nice. And I've enjoyed not having the pressures of every day. I used to put so much pressure on myself every single day that I couldn't make one mistake in training or if I made a bad pass in training, that the manager would look at me and think they can't play on the weekend. So it's nice not having that kind of pressure. But now I'm ready to get back into a football club and try and use my knowledge that I've learned for the last 20 odd years and put that into practice somewhere. So hopefully something will come to fruition.
No, fantastic. Look forward to seeing what you do next. And how do you reflect on your time overall at Wickham?
Oh, fantastic. There's nothing but amazing memories. Spending 10 years somewhere, especially signing at 27, to go and spend 10 years there, that had the success that we've had, to take the club to the highest position it's ever had in its history, the cup runs, the group of players that, we kind of stuck together for so long. It's not like any club where I've been at where the turnover of players every season is huge. We kept the same core group for so long. You become such good friends with people. I think that's the biggest thing I'm going to take away, is that I've made friends for life. I still speak to Gareth and Dobbo a lot. You speak to people who've worked at the club and left years ago. I still keep in contact with them. And yeah, just an amazing, amazing place. And, so thankful that I was able to be a part of that 10 years where, like I said, we had so much success. And I can take memories that will live me forever.
Fantastic to speak to you. Thank you so much, Neve, for your time.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Real pleasure chatting to Joe Jacobson and to share his memories of his decade at the club, making 400 appearances in a Wickham shirt. Really brilliant to hear his stories and hear how he's getting on to almost a year. It'll be next month. He played his 400th game, I'm sure you remember, for Wickham Wanderers. And as I say, great to catch up with him again. And a big thank you to Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association. March appears to be a popular month for birthdays. Also celebrating this month is Bill Clear. Hopefully you won't mind us saying 89 years young. He's been celebrating his special day. John Taylor saying, the only man to defy March O'Neill and live to tell the tale. Their altercation came when the Wickham manager realised after-match drinks were being carried into the official dressing room, upset at several crucial decisions going against his side. Not for the first time, the tray went flying. Bill, as befits an experienced former referee himself, calmly did a swift reorder and delivered freshly filled glasses. Happily, the long-serving Wanderers committee man and the club boss soon became firm friends and still are today. Indeed, Martin, along with all associated with the club, send their best wishes to the Downley man, who only last year got a deserved MBE for his services to football. There's some really nice posts on the Wickham Wanderers Ex-Player Association Facebook page, including someone who was a former guest on the show, Gary Hand, who said, happy birthday, Bill. Remember you refereeing games in the Isthmian League days. Good set of refs then. Keep well. And also George Borg, who you might recall we spoke to recently on the show as well, sending his very special best wishes, referring to Bill as a very special man. It was always there for us back in the day. More from Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Player Association next week on the show, and indeed throughout the remainder of the season, which I guess is only a few weeks to go now. And also brilliant to reflect on what the kind of social scene means for the Ex-Player Association. They recently had their quiz. There's another event coming to Adams Park very soon in the form of Boogie Bingo. That's happening on Thursday the 1st of May. You'll get the opportunity to combine bingo with disco. See what they've done there. It's a fantastic evening of entertainment in prospect. You'll get food and drink. There's prizes to be won as well. Ooh. The music themed bingo game comes with a professional DJ. That's good to know. And an opportunity to dance as well, with doors opening at 6:30. You'd expect that from a disco, wouldn't you? It wouldn't be a disco in it otherwise. The event will be running until midnight. There's food and drink available as well to purchase on the night. You can secure your place by heading to tickets.wwfc.com. That's tickets.wwfc.com. And that's Boogie Bingo on Thursday the 1st of May.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
The Chair boys are flying high in League One this season, so come on down to Adams Park, get behind the boys and play your part in what will be a memorable season for Wycombe Wanderers.
71 minutes on the clock, up against Jed Stitt, dancing around on his line. The
take
right
your time,
foot
Rich.
Of
take
Richard
your time.
Kono. Here he comes.
Score! Richard!
It's been goals, goals, goals for the Chair boys so far this season. Come on down to Adams Park to play your part and get behind the boys. Head to tickets.wwfc.com and use the code SOUND on booking for a chance to win a gantry experience at a Wycombe Wanderers home match. Come on, you Blues.
Mid-mornings on Wycombe Sound.
Wycombe is a pretty phenomenal place for that. There's so many different cultures and nationalities and people here that I think we've all kind of come together and kind of gone, okay, look, this is a real vibrant place.
So we are very fortunate to be home to two miniature Mediterranean donkeys. They're Jennies, so they're females, and they're called Luby and Acacia, and both of them have welcomed a foal each this summer.
Olivia, one of our students in Year 8, won with a poem about her shoes and the shoe as a metaphor for what we might experience in our lives. It's absolutely incredible.
Could you imagine Shakespeare to be quite long? I remember going to see my sister in something at Wycombe High. It went on for ages.
Was it Hamlet?
Seats were very comfortable, I remember that. The interval wasn't for ages. It was very good though, she was great.
Mid-mornings, weekdays, from 10. The Wycombe Wanderers Show, Thursdays from 7.
106.6 FM. Final part of this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderers Show, and we'll dedicate this corner to the Chair Girls. Wycombe Wanderers women going well in their division at the moment, second in the table, not too many league games to go for them, three I think, and they're second in the table behind Ascot. And their first ever league game to be played at Adams Park took place on Tuesday night in front of a fantastic crowd of 567. I was pleased to be part of it myself. And it was a game which got off to a fantastic start. Within 15 minutes, the home team were 3-0 up, and all the goals were really excellent as well. And Wycombe Wanderers women went on to win 6-1. Among the goal scorers was Jess Watkins, who we've spoken to on the show recently, but her hat-trick meant that she was voted player of the match. And as you can imagine, she was very pleased with how it all went.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing occasion. Obviously, playing at Adams Park, we were all super excited for it. So, yeah, it was great.
It's obviously something that means a lot to you. How would you describe sort of coming out of the tunnel and coming onto the pitch and just even preparing for the game?
Yeah, like we prepare as we normally would prepare for any game. At the end of the day, it's still a league game we wanted to win, and we did that and more, I think.
Oh, yeah, a really great advert for the team, obviously, and for anyone who's coming along for the first time tonight.
Yeah, we got a lot of goals, which is obviously entertaining for the crowd that came, and we did a solid performance, so we're all really happy.
And you must be especially pleasing with the start as well.
Yeah, to get the first goal was really, really great, and yeah, I was really happy with it.
And a fantastic sort of controlled performance by the whole team as well.
Yeah, very controlled. Obviously, we let one goal in towards the end, but 6-1, you can't really be unhappy with that.
And it's a great message to supporters to say to, you know, what the team are doing at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it was an entertaining game. So I think people that came down, they obviously saw that, you know, we could score goals, we could do some good skills and stuff like that. So hopefully they'll come back again.
and really pleasing for your own sort of performance and your own sort of goal tally as well.
Yeah, up to 20 goals now, so I'm very happy.
Jess Watkins, who plays on the wing, and you might recall we had her on the show comparatively recently, and she was hoping to be in the top running for the league scorers this season. So those three goals would have really helped that. Brilliant to speak to some fans after the game as well. They were so impressed with the standard of football that was on display. Some who've seen the Chair Girls before and really noticed the improvement in the team and the style of play, the attacking and creativity that we've spoken about previously that's been injected into the team. The goals, great pace of the team as well. It was really fantastic to witness some of the great interchange of passing as well, which led to a number of the goals on Tuesday night. We have manager Carl Simon on the show last week previewing the game, and it was fantastic to speak to him afterwards, and as you can imagine, he was quite pleased with the way the evening went.
Very happy, absolutely delighted, obviously, to have a crowd of 565, which I think was the gate tonight, and putting a performance like that makes me immensely proud. So yeah, really happy.
A fantastic occasion and such a great advert. I know you'll be proud for the team, for the league, and for women's football locally, but also, you know, for your team especially.
Yeah, we spoke earlier about, you know, trying to inspire younger players who are watching the game today, some of the younger girls we had from the GDA who came and watched us. So, you know, we want to show them what we can do and show how good women's football can be for those who want to come and watch it. So, like I said, you know, the performance was the most important thing. Yes, we expected to beat Reading today, but the man of the performance was fantastic, I thought, and played some of our best football of the season.
And was your instruction to get off to a fast start, score three goals earlier and make them all really good?
I think it was that easy. I mean, we didn't expect that. Like, we were sitting on the bench and, like, my assistant said to me, you couldn't have a better start than that, and it was fantastic. So sometimes it comes that way, but the goals that we scored, those early goals, were really incisive and really, really clinical in the finishing.
And such a controlled display throughout the game.
Yeah, we are often to be patient. Sometimes with position playing up against a high line, the tendency can be to start playing long ball and just go forward, but we realised we just had to just be a little bit patient and let the game come as it was and just enjoy the ball and take the chances as they came, and it worked perfect for us come the second half.
And defensively, not really tested, I guess.
No, not really. But, you know, what they had to do, they did well, and, you know, you can see that by at the end of the game. Obviously, we conceded the one goal, one mistake, and it's a goal, right? So sometimes it looks like you don't have much to do, but actually they are doing things quietly to limit the chances.
And a fantastic display from the whole team and the players that you brought on towards the end as well.
Yeah, the balance is really good today in the team. I think that's the third time we've not had to change the starting lineup, and I've never done that since I've been at the club. So three games in a row, same starting lineup, three games in a row, scored five goals. You know, you can't ask for much more than that, really. And like I said, the substitutes came on and he added to it, brought some young players in as well. So really, really pleased.
And the players will take so much from this experience as well.
Yeah, of course it is. So, you know, they're playing at the home Wycombe Wanderers, especially for our younger players, to go and play in front of a crowd like that, who I think the crowd are really good today, really generous in their praise and applause. So, yeah, really pleased.
It really was a great atmosphere at Adams Park on Tuesday night, and great to get the Chair Girls so much backing from those in attendance. Brilliant afterwards to get the thoughts of Bobby Lynch as well, who's the captain.
Yeah, it's a really good occasion, I think, for a Tuesday night. The men are playing. So, yeah, we've got a good crowd, I think 560-odd down here, which is amazing support for the Chair Girls, yeah.
Really pleasing for all the players, I imagine, to be playing on the Adams Park pitch and coming out of the tunnel and just sort of preparing before the game too.
Yeah, it's massive for us and it's massive for women's football, I think. It's important to take these moments and enjoy the occasions. We had, you know, young players on the bench who were coming in, playing their first game in a stadium, and I think it's really important for them and to be role models for the mascots that were down here today, and we spent a lot of time with them before the game. And it's just important for them to see, I think, gives a platform for Wycombe Wanderers and women's sport.
And what was your thought on the performance overall? Obviously, you got off to such a great start.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great team performance. Some of the football we played is just, you know, it's straight from the training ground. I think it's really clear the progression we've made as a team. If people have seen us maybe a few seasons ago and they've seen us now, it's so clear the progression we've made and the players we've brought in and the impact they've had. And yeah, it's really pleasing performance, I think.
And to get six goals, obviously three so quickly as well.
Yeah, after sort of 30 minutes being 3-0 up, I think it really settled us and allowed us to play some football and just, you know, play the way we wanted to. Didn't have to have settled those nerves and stuff like that. And yeah, I think it allowed us to sort of build on from that. And then, you know, another second half performance, brilliant.
Was it extra special as well to have, you know, so many players who've got Reading connections in it previously as well?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's, I think it's a bit harder for them, isn't it? I don't want to celebrate too much and all of those sorts of things against their ex-teammates. And a couple of girls that used to play for us have gone there. And you look, their situation is not good. It's not a good situation, and it's not good for women's sport either. So we have to take that. And it's, you know, it's not a reflection on the players they have now. It's sort of a reflection on what's happened to them as a club. And that's never a good thing. It's never what you're going to see. That was my childhood club. They always were sort of a real sort of pioneers for women's football and always had a good team. So it's actually quite a sad situation what's happened. But look, they're starting from scratch and they're doing a good job. They're building, they've picked up some points. So no disrespect to them. I think they came out and they battled, and I think they showed a good account of themselves as well. And they'll only get better.
I guess the only thing to sort of take the shine off that the night was not having a clean sheet.
Yeah, that's frustrating. We always want to keep a clean sheet, don't we? But there's also 90-odd minutes in a game. And to keep concentration levels up for, you know, the goalkeeper in the back line when the game has had a little attacking threat, it, you know, sometimes it happens.
But it's such a great experience, and so much all the players will take from tonight.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think it's just the beginning. We hope to play more games here, get more fans down. Obviously, we had a good number today. You know, some Reading, some Wickham. And it's, yeah, really good to highlight where we can go and what we can do.
A really brilliant advert for your team as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the girls showed a good account of themselves. Like every player out there gave 100% and showed a good performance. And I think we can all be very proud.
And Carl was saying he's targeting 100 goals and getting 44 points. And that's something to really aim for now.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the stats are at the moment, but we must be near that now anyway. But no, we've got 3 or 4 more games and whatever it is. It's really important to pick up the maximum points we can, just as a message for next season, and just to build on what we've already achieved so far this season. You know, see what we can do. If we finish second, I still think that's a massive achievement and a really positive season for us.
Real pleasure to speak to you. Bobby Lynch, who's the Wickham Wanderers women's captain. That win leaves Wickham rather firmly in second place after 15 games. If you don't know, they play in the Southern Region Women's Football League Premier Division. They're currently, as I say, second in the table with 35 points. So Carl, the manager, has set them that target of 44. And they've had a pretty decent season so far. They've won 5 games at the 1878 Stadium at Burnham and 6 on their travels as well. So they've had a total of 11 wins, 2 draws and 2 defeats as well. As I say, those 3 games, and they've currently scored 53 goals in the league. So they need a few more from those remaining 3 games to reach that target of 100. But they're on 35 points. Ascot, who are the league leaders, are on 40 points. But they do have they have played a game more than the league leaders. They're next in action against Scholing, which is on the 30th of March. That's at home at Burnham. Scholing currently 7th in the table. There's only 10 teams in the division, so Wickham Wanderers women doing fantastically well, and a real kind of push for the promotion place. There's only one that goes up in the league. It was fantastic as well after the game to speak to Wickham Wanderers Foundation Chief Executive Mark Gateskill, who, of course, Wickham Wanderers women are under the umbrella of this season. And as you can imagine, he was very pleased with Wickham Wanderers' first league game at Adams Park as well.
Oh, look, delighted with the evening. Delighted to bring the girls back to the home of Wickham Wanderers. Look, let's be honest. Look, we play at Burnham, which is a fantastic facility, and they're really, you know, dear friends of ours. Obviously, it's our home, but the home of Wickham Wanderers is Adams Park. So to bring the girls to the stadium under the floodlights is a bit more special as well. So yeah, look, really, really, really happy. Top performance from the girls. Great night for the club with the men's team coming from behind to win as well. So two huge wins. So delighted.
And fantastic for the foundation as well. A great kind of advert for what you do as well.
Yeah, look, the girls haven't played at Adams Park for a while. So you're coming in with a little bit of sort of uncertainty, really, in terms of, you know, how many people are going to come ultimately. But on a cold Tuesday night, you know, a late night or for a school night. So, you know, to get over 500 people through the door to come and watch the girls play and cheer them on to a fantastic 6-1 victory, yeah. Delighted.
And a great game as well.
Yeah, really good. You know, obviously they started very fast. I missed 2 of the goals as I was still sending some emails at that point. But yeah, really, really, really strong performance. And yeah, look, the women's team became a part of the foundation fairly recently. And we set a lofty target at the start of the season to get promoted. And we're in that division where only one team goes up. So, you know, you make one mistake and it becomes difficult. And we have to, as our manager said, put our hands up and applaud Ascot, who've had a brilliant season and gone unbeaten. But I think we're on track for our record points tally and record goals tally, and any other season would have been enough to get promoted. So we've got to be really happy with the first season sort of underneath the foundation, and it's built, excuse the pun, a great foundation for future success.
And you must see this a lot as well, but it's fantastic to kind of witness, especially like young fans and really looking up to what the players are doing.
Yeah, look, the reason we came together with the Supporters Trust who previously ran the women's team was that we felt we were stronger together, and we had a thriving girls development academy that was doing really well. Lots of them were here tonight watching the team, or even mascots as well. We had some mascots on the pitch before the game and walking out with the girls. And yeah, we spoke a lot about that complete pathway from sort of your first kick to first team, which is great. And tonight's been a great showcase of that, both on the pitch and off it.
And brilliant as well for the kind of the future of the popularity of the women's team as well, and hopefully can build on that too.
Yeah, look, hopefully this is the first of many. Obviously not the first time they've ever played here, but it's been a little while, and obviously under the new ownership group of the overall organisation, the first time the women's team have played here with their full backing and full support, which has been really, really positive. So yeah, look, exciting times.
And not just the women's team, we had the Warm Hub here tonight as well.
Yeah, lots going on. So the Warm Hub participants were here, which is sort of twice a week, and lots of them were super excited to stay and support the girls. They'd been in the club shop buying scarves and what have you, and they were up in the director's lounge, director's box seats, the comfy seats. So, yeah, look, really, really great evening for the whole foundation.
Thanks so much for your time.
Pleasure.
Real pleasure to speak to Mark Gaiskill, who's the Chief Executive of Wycombe Wanderers Foundation. And if you've been inspired by Wycombe Wanderers women's performance at Adams Park, or perhaps any games of the women that you've seen this season, and perhaps you're a young player yourself, or you've got a young daughter who'd like to get involved, then Wycombe Wanderers Women have introduced an under-16s JPL playing squad, which will kick off next season. And they had huge success so far this season with what the club call challenging and stretching their talented young performers, with a number of players from the under-18 squad being promoted to train and play with the first team. There's a Talent ID Day, which is taking place on Tuesday the 8th of April. There are currently two under-16s, four under-17s and one under-18 who are regularly training and playing at the first team level. It's something that the football club is extremely proud of and will be instrumental if they are to reach the high ambitions of climbing to the top of the women's football pyramid. The club say they firmly believe that the introduction of an under-16s playing squad who will train alongside both the under-18s and first team will be another positive step in creating a first close elite performance pathway for women and girls at Wycombe Wanderers Foundation. So, Wycombe Wanderers Women's First Team play in the Southern Region, as we say, Women's Football League Tier 5, and then the under-18s squad, JPL Warriors, the under-16s squad, JPL Warriors, and then the Girls Development Academy, under-8s to under-16s. So there are a number of sections within the club that you can get involved with. Wycombe Wanderers Women's under-16s and under-18s squad will train twice a week on a Tuesday and a Thursday evening from 7 through until 9, along with a comprehensive fixture programme. Both training sessions and home fixtures will take place at the first-class home at Burnham FC, their 1878 stadium, which boasts a high-quality 4G pitch, analysis room and great amenities and facilities for parents as well. And you get good refreshments there as well. I've experienced myself. If your daughter has what it takes to be part of the club's elite performance pathway for next season, that's the 2025-26 season, then they'd love to see her. There's a QR code on the website, or you can click on the Wycombe Wanderers Foundation website to find out more. They've got an upcoming under-16 and under-18 talent ID session, as mentioned, on Tuesday the 8th of April. They're offering a free session to girls who are playing this season within the following age groups. So if they're under-14s, under-15s, under-16s or indeed under-17s, then you qualify to play. If you have any questions, then contact Wycombe Wanderers Women's Director of Football. That's Nick Hunt. You can send Nick an email, nick.hunt@wwfc.com. That's nick.hunt@wwfc.com. Nick's the Wycombe Wanderers Women's Director of Football, and we'll be able to answer any of your questions on the Talent ID Day, which I say is happening on Tuesday the 8th of April. If you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that we follow Wycombe Wanderers Women and their progress throughout the season. Brilliant to keep up with the Chair Girls, and we wish them all the best for their promotion push. But as Bobby mentioned a little earlier on, even though they finished second in the table, it'll be a fantastic achievement, and they're the league's top goal scorers as well. going really well and only 5 points off the league leaders Ascot at the moment. Let's turn our attention back to the men's team. As mentioned, Wycombe Wanderers have got the weekend off due to the postponement of the Huddersfield game due to international call-ups for the hosts. It would have been an away game, of course. That's now been moved to a Tuesday night. Fantastic victory at Rotherham on Tuesday night, coming from a goal down to win 3-2 and return us to the automatic promotion places. So it's brilliant that the men's team and the women's team are both second in their respective divisions. Wycombe Wanderers men's team next in action on Saturday the 29th of March with a visit of Lincoln City. Another brilliant opportunity for you to get behind the team. It'd be fantastic to see a large attendance like that we've seen last weekend with the visit of Wrexham. Then down to the final running, really. Shrewsbury Town come on Tuesday the 1st of April. Then a trip to Reading at lunchtime on Saturday the 5th. And then a few days later on Tuesday the 8th of April, that rearranged fixture at Huddersfield. That's a 7:45 kickoff. Then back to 12:30 at Adams Park on Saturday the 12th, one of the remaining home games of the season when Stevenage come to town. Bolton on Good Friday, there's a trip to Bolton. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Then on Easter Monday, the visit of Charlton. Also at 3, then a trip to Leighton Orient on Saturday the 26th of April, and then the season concludes, I wonder where we'll be at that stage in the season, with the visit of Stockport County, who are also in the hunt for the playoffs too themselves. So lots to look forward to. Enjoy your international break, whether you're taking part in non-league day or whether you're just having a weekend off, or whether you're just taking in some international football. Enjoy. We'll be back next week with the Wycombe Wanderers show. More from Phil, more from head coach Mike Dodds, more from Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Player Association, and more from Wycombe Wanderers women as well. Enjoy whatever you're up to in the coming weeks. And a reminder that if you're not about at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night, you can catch up with the Wycombe Wanderers show wherever you get your podcasts from, on the Wycombe Sound Radio Player page, on YouTube, and the last four episodes on the Listen Again feature on the website, wycombesound.org.uk. Okay.